me is that it's not something that has to be done actively right then at the time that you've sent. It's already been paid for. You just got to accept it. Amen? I want you to take your Bibles with me, please. Look in the book of Daniel. Look in the book of Daniel. Go past Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel, and then you'll hit Daniel. Chapter number three in the book of Daniel. Pretty familiar stuff to most of us, I guess. We've all heard this and been there and done that with the things that we know about the three Hebrew children being thrown in the fiery furnace. And that's the setting of this. But I want you to jump down now. In the beginning of it, you know that the king has had this dream, and Daniel has interpreted the dream for him. He didn't even remember what the dream was, but then Daniel came in by what the Lord had revealed to him, showed him what the dream was, what it was about, and what really the meaning of it was, the interpretation of it. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has made an image, and it tells you that in the very first verse of chapter 3. And it tells you how tall it was and how big it was and how wide and all that stuff. And where he set it up. And it's in Babylon. And the decree given from the king was this, that whenever there was a certain amount of music or certain types of music that were played, and they were there around that set-up idol, the people were supposed to bow and worship and do that to the king's idol. And then I want you to notice in verse number 8, it says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if ye be ready that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it so be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for everything that you have done for us, and we praise you and thank you for the new year, for all the blessings and all the things we look forward to. Just stir our hearts and stir our thinking and our minds now to be more like you. And Lord, again, if there's somebody here and they're unsaved, would you speak to them? Show them their need of salvation through the Lord Jesus. And again, we'll just praise you. We'll give you thanks for everything you're doing for us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you were here on Wednesday night and maybe even looking at some of the other stuff we put out with Facebook and some other things, you know that for this year we're having a theme, and the theme for our year this year is, will the church thrive in 2025? Will the church thrive? Well, with that thought in mind, we talked about it a little bit the other night on Wednesday night, But I want to look at it a little bit further this morning, and maybe for the next few weeks we'll talk about this deal of thriving. I mean, we ought to want to thrive, and to see the church thrive in 2025 is the whole goal of us as a people. Not just in 2025, but as long as the Lord wills that we be here. But, you know, somebody said, well, preacher, what does that word thrive mean? Well, I just looked it up, and here's the Webster Dictionary definition of that word. It means to grow vigorously or to flourish. Or another definition was to progress toward or realize a goal despite or because of the circumstances. So I'm telling you, that's a good working definition for us about thriving today, is that we want to see the church grow and flourish, and that we want to progress toward a goal in spite of or because of the circumstances that are around us. And we could certainly say, well, you know, preacher, look at what's going on in the world. Look what's going on around us. How in the world can the church thrive? Well, that's why I want you to look this morning at these verses that we saw, and let's talk a little bit about a commitment to thrive. A commitment to thrive. Now, there's a lot of things that go on during our years and our lifetimes that would cause us to back up or to fail or to get off track. But, man, you just sometimes just got to make your mind up that you're going to get committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. I mean, most of the time we do that, don't we? Most every one of us, we'll find a cause that we want to get behind. There are people that get behind the cause of something that really is near and dear to them. I mean, there's people that get behind causes in the medical field or in the entertainment, or you'll get behind your team in the sports field, won't you? You'll get behind them, and boy, I mean, you're like, well, I'm all excited and I'm committed to, you know, this team, this group, whatever it is. We all get excited about those things. Well, brother, let me tell you something more important than that is your spiritual life and your spiritual health, and how that you and I can get committed to Christ to help the church thrive in 2025. Amen. So I want you to look at a few things here this morning, and let's look at this idea of being committed to thrive in this year. First of all, I want you to notice this. When you read this story, I guess the very first thing that popped in my mind is this. I want you to notice, first of all, the Babylonian brainwashing. The Babylonian brainwashing. Now, you know, if you look there in verse number 4, and we didn't read this, but in verse number 4, the king sets this idol up, and then he sends out his messengers to spread the word about what's supposed to happen. Verse number 4, he says this, "Then a herald cried aloud," and listen, this is what he said, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." And then he goes on and says, "Whenever you hear this music, you're supposed to worship." I mean, it was something that they were commanded. Do you know that it almost seems like today in our world that we're commanded to do some things? I mean, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to be here. You've got to go there. You've got to give in on this point. You've got to give way with that. I mean, we're in that place where the world is there trying to brainwash us in so many areas. There's a brainwashing. And listen, when you look at this, they say, well, if you don't do this in the brainwashing sequence, and I don't care who it is and what it is, there's a lot of cults and a lot of religions, if you will, in that vague term, that try to get you to do whatever they want. And they say, look, here's what you got to do. And this is, you're commanded to do these things. You're commanded to do these things. Can I tell you, brother, the only commandments you and I need to listen to are the commandments of the Lord Jesus. Amen? That's the only thing you and I need. But now, here's this king, and he sends out his heralds, and he says, look, here's what you're commanded to do. And you notice that he says that the decree is given. But I want you to notice, if you don't do what's commanded, notice, first of all, there's some consequences. Look in verse number 6. "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." There's some consequences if you don't follow the command. Boy, I mean, they're told pretty straight. You know what that does to most folks? It makes them, you know, kind of bow down, bend the knee, and say, okay, because, Lord, we see what's happening. Do you know that there's countries across this world that they tell them, you can't have a Bible, you can't have a church service, you can't serve God, you can't mention any type of religion, because if you do, there are consequences. And that's just the way that it is. But aren't you glad there's some folks that say, hey, you know what? I'm standing up for the Lord anyway. Amen. No matter what the consequences may be. But there's consequences that are involved in this command. But not only consequences, look what it says there in verse number 7. It said, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, and so on and so forth, all those things of music, all the people, the nations and the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. I want you to notice they were told about the consequences, and then you know what happened? There was compliance. There was some compliance that came along after that. Well, I guess we better do it, because if we don't, we know what's going to happen. And, you know, fear is pretty motivating. Fear is a pretty good thing. I'm glad to tell you today, God doesn't tell us to deal in fear. I mean, I don't come in here and say, now look, You better live right and act right and get right. The only thing I can tell you is there is an eternal consequence to that. But I'm not telling you if you don't, God's going to squish you out like a bug right now today. I can't tell you that because that's not true. I'm glad to tell you, brother, the grace and the mercy and the love of God is still trying to get you to get saved. Amen. But here they're told, man, if there's not a compliance, then, you know, you're in trouble. There's a command. There's a consequence, and there's the compliance that goes along with it. But do you see what the whole point of this is that they're trying to get everybody to conform to the same thing. Get some conform. You know what your Bible tells you about conforming to things in this world? Paul writes in Romans chapter number 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And in verse number 2 he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm just telling you, man, hey, this world says conform, 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 but Jesus says get transformed. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what this thing. You've got to get committed to that idea of being transformed from what this world is wanting you to be. The world wants you to be one thing. The world wants you to be just like them. The world wants you to get in sin. The world wants you to condone sin. The world wants you to lift up sin. The world wants you to push and go on with the program of sin. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, don't conform to this world. Be transformed. Amen. Renew your mind. So, first of all, just look at the Babylonian brainwashing, if you will. But I want you to notice a second thing. Beyond that brainwashing, I want you to notice now the boldness of these believers. Look in verse number 16. We read that after the king told them how it was and what it was and what the consequences were. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they're saying, it don't matter to us. We're not too worried about giving you our answer. Can I tell you the first thing we ought to do when we understand there is some boldness in believers? First thing you need to do is speak up. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I mean, we don't mind telling you what we're going to do. Amen. Can I tell you, folks, today all of us need to get some Holy Ghost boldness about us and let's speak up for the Lord Jesus. I mean, let's just speak up for Him. There's going to be people that's going to say things. There's people that's going to do things. There's people that's going to come to you and almost demand or command things of you and say, you've got to do this. You know what you can do? You can stand up and say, hey, I want you to know I'm saved by the amazing grace of God and I'm standing for Him. And you know what? Sometimes it won't be very popular. It won't be very, very well taken. But it'll still be true. They looked at the king and they said, we're not careful. We are not trying to take care with our answer. We're not going to tippy-toe around it. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to kind of hem-haw around. We're going to tell you. We're going to speak up about what we think. So can I tell you, from our point of view, there should be some boldness in the lives of believers. You need to speak up. But second of all, you ought to just make up your mind that you're going to serve God no matter what. Look at verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Hey, they said, you know what? We're just going to serve our God no matter how this thing goes. No matter which way it falls, we're going to serve our God. Boy, that you and I this day would get our minds up and say, preacher, and I'm not talking about being a smart aleck. I'm not talking about throwing things in people's faces. I'm not talking about being hateful. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just say, listen, I've made my mind up. Do you know what Joshua told his people over in Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15? He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We just got our minds made up. Amen. Can I tell you, that's the way you and I need to be. If we're going to get committed to this thing as Christians, hey, you're going to have to speak up, and then you're going to have to serve God no matter what comes down the pipe, no matter what's there before you. Just make up your mind, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him. And then not only that, you need to just stand up, and stand up firmly. Look in verse number 18. They said, but God can. And He can deliver us out of your hand. He will deliver us out of your hand, King. However these things go, we'll be out of your hand. He said, and they said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We'll just tell you, we're standing, and we're standing up firmly. We have made up our mind. Brother, let me tell you, just get that type of commitment in your heart. I'm going to stand for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, this world is not going to stand for Him. I mean, they're against Him. They're fighting. They wish the church was out of the way for the majority. I'm not talking about everybody, but the majority. Brother, they wish something would happen to me and you. They don't like us. They don't like what we stand for. Why? Because it messes with their little program and their way of doing things and their thoughts and their designs and the way they want to turn things about. They don't like it at all. But you know what God needs? He needs somebody to stand up. Over in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord told Ezekiel to find some man. He said, who's going to stand and make up the gap in the hedge? Somebody's got to stand up for God. Amen. And you got to make your mind up. You're going to be one of those. You're going to be one of the ones. You're going to be one of the few. You're going to be one of those that has just got their mind made up. You remember, again, we were talking about here the other day about the 12 spies going out into the land, the promised land. And Moses said, go out and, you know, bring us back a report. They came back. You know what it was? It was 10 of them that said, we can't take the land. It's just a land that's it's just rough land. The people there are giants. We're just like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do this, we can't do that. But there was two guys, Joshua and Caleb, and they said, we can do it. God has promised us, and we think that we can go in there and take it if God will go with us. Can I tell you, you've got to make your mind up. You've got to make your mind. You need to make up your mind this morning and say, preacher, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm making up my mind. There's other things that come at me. There's other people that talk and try to fill my ears and my thoughts. But I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for Him. Stand up firmly. Let me just tell you. Let me tell you. Look number three, if you will, though. Look on down a little bit further. So the king doesn't like that, okay? I hope you get that idea that it says in verse number 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed. Before, he was kind of like, now, boys, you know, y'all play along here. Be nice. Get in sync with everybody else. And you know, get in the way of conforming to this situation. We're not going to do it. You know what happened? He got ugly. He got mad. He got mean. And the Bible says that he told some of his servants, to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before, and to throw them in. And it said that he got some of the mighty men out of his army, verse number 20, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he cast them in the furnace. They're getting ready to cast them in the furnace. And I want you to notice, they do cast them in. Matter of fact, when they cast them in, the men that cast them in, the flames of that fire come out and it kills them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall down into the midst of that burning, fiery furnace. Look in verse number 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Now, you know, they go through the whole thing there, and it talks about he has them bound, hand and foot. And they have their clothes on, they got their hat. I don't know if you think that's going to make it hotter or what, but, I mean, they're going into a flaming furnace. But they're fully clothed, they've got everything, and they're bound, their hands and their feet. There's nothing they can do. Well, can you see old King Nebuchadnezzar like, we got them now, boys. But look in verse number 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake, said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Woo, can I tell you, there was a blessing down there in the burning. I mean, things were burning, the fire was raging, it was hot, and brother, something happened to those men. What was it? Well, let me tell you, that when you look at it, you understand, there was a presence there that the king didn't know anything about. There was somebody showed up. I know a long time ago somebody wrote a song and they was talking about that, you know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said there was a fourth man in the fire. And the songwriter says this little grandma was telling her little kid, he's asking about it. She said, I can tell you who's in the fire. She said, it's Jesus. Amen. And boy, he said, old grandma starts hopping through the house. And he said, well, wait a minute, grandma. Said, what happened to that fourth man? She said, he's still in the fire. Amen. He's still there when you and I need him. He is a presence that this world doesn't understand. There was a presence there. This king had no idea. He thought, I'm in control. I'm the boss. I'm the master. I've got in charge. I'll throw these men. They'll die. They'll burn up. But all of a sudden, he looked around. And if you'll notice now, it says they were cast in, bound. Their feet and their hands, everything was bound. But all of a sudden, he looks around and he said, wait a minute. These 4 guys, they're in there walking around. How did that happen? Amen. There was a presence that he did not understand. I want you to notice this. Not only was there a presence, there was a protection that came to them from the Lord. You see that? It says, I see, in verse 25, I see 4 men loose. They got loose. They're walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. Boy, listen. There was some protection that was afforded to them. Now, I don't like y'all. Don't know about y'all. But I don't like fire, y'all. And fire don't like me. Amen. I mean, it hurts. You ever blister yourself, burn yourself on the stove or something that was hot? And I'm telling you, all the time she'll tell me, she'll say, don't touch that, it's hot. I got a pretty good idea what that means, don't you? I mean, that means don't touch it. You're going to get burnt, right? Well, boy, here these guys are in a fiery furnace. I don't know exactly what kind of furnace it is and what they did with it, but the king was delighted to see the heat of it and these men cast into it, and then all of a sudden he looks down in it. And he sees 4 guys walking around. Then we throw 3 in there. They said, King, you're right, there's 3. He said, well, I'm seeing 4. Where'd that 4th one come from? Amen. I'm telling you, God gave them his presence. Now, be real honest with you. I think this is one of those theophanies. I believe that's Jesus right there in the middle of that fire walking around with them. And he's protecting them from all the blaze, all the anything there was. You'll see here in a minute when they pull them out of the fire, there's not even the smell of smoke on them. There was not one hair singed on anyone. I mean, there was no way that fire couldn't have done some kind of damage. You'd say, oh, well, they smell like... You ever been in some place where somebody's smoking? Amen? Now, I tell you a real funny, quick story. The other day, me and Sister Lynn was shopping. and we was walking through a store, and there's people, you know, a lot of people in here. Somebody walked by, and I'm going like this. And I looked over at her, and I said, did somebody turn a skunk loose in here? And she said, yeah, I smell that too. And we're walking around, and I'm thinking, I just want one more lap to make sure. So I go the way, and I see, and it's a lady, just real dressed up, got on a big fur coat and all that, got her cell phone in her ear, and she's talking. And I'm thinking, that's you? And I walk by there, and I go, yeah, Skunk City. I mean, man, it's, you know, we're getting weedy in there. So we're walking around, and just so happens, here she comes. We're going the other way. We pass by, and I look at Liz. She says, woo, hallelujah. We got up in the checkout line. We got out of there, and I said, are we going to get arrested outside? Because I'm afraid that smell is going to be all over me. Right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. A smell can get on you. Go down to a Mexican restaurant and see what happens when you leave down there. Amen? You smell like jalapenos and, you know, whatever, nachos and everything else. But what I'm saying, a smell will get on you. These guys didn't have any smell of smoke. They didn't have one hair. Their clothes were not burnt at all. I'm talking about the protection that could only be afforded by the presence of a holy God. And what I'm telling you about that is, hey, there's the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout that. What I'm saying to you is this. You get some boldness, and no matter what kind of fiery trials, what kind of situations you go through, can I tell you, they'll be a blessing while all the burnings are going on. There'll be a blessing there for you. Amen? All right, look at one last thing with me, if you will, real quickly. After all of this has happened, it says in verse number 20, go to verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Amen? I want to tell you, there was a behavior that changed beyond the beholding of what King Nebuchadnezzar saw. He beheld something. He got to see it with his own eyes, and it changed his mind. Can I tell you, when folks in this world will see me and you have a change in our lives, when they'll see us making that stand, it will do something to them. First of all, don't you notice that this king did have a change of heart. I mean, when he got him out of there, he says, look, he said, I want you to know, I want you to notice these men. Nothing has happened to them. And look in verse 29. He said, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. He had a change of heart, didn't he? I mean, he changed his tune real quick. Not only that, man, he gave a challenge to all those that would dare say anything against their God. Can I tell you, when people see that you're ready to make a stand, that you've got committed, that God's in your life, and some of the things that God will do in your life, then, boy, it'll become a challenge to their heart. I mean, it will become a challenge to their heart. They'll look at you, and they may laugh and joke and say, oh, there's old Holy Roller, and there's, you're better than everybody else, and you think this and that and the other about your church and about your God. But can I tell you, when they get down to it and they see the truth, it will challenge their thinking. It'll challenge them, and it will cause them to have this same change of heart that you see that happened to this king. It was a challenge that came to every person. He said, I'm going to tell you something. Anybody's got anything to say about their God, look what he said. He said, we're going to burn your house. Your house will be made of dunghill. They'll be cut into pieces. I mean, that's a rough punishment. That was worse than it was with the first deal. Amen? But don't you notice, at the very end of this, look in the very last verse. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Can I tell you, there's a compensation when you'll stand and stay committed to God. God's got some sort of payday out there for you. If you'll make up your mind, you want to stand for Him. We need to get committed this year to the things of Jesus. We need to get committed to Him and His Word. And we'll get into that as we go along. There'll be a lot more stuff that'll fall along in this same thoughts. But I'm telling you, we need to get committed to Him. I'm not asking you to commit to me. I'm not asking you to commit to this church. I'm not asking for that. It'd be a good thing if you did. But can I tell you, the very first thing you better get committed to, you get committed to the Lord. And if you'll get committed to the Lord, all of those other things will fall into their places. Every little thing, like a domino, it will fall and take the next one. All those things will go right into their place. When you make up your mind, I'm going to serve Him. You remember what Paul said over to the people in Ephesus, those people that came to him? I think they were at Miletus, but anyway, they came to him and they were upset that what they knew was going to happen to Paul if he went back to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going. And they said, well, Paul, if you go back to Jerusalem, we know that nothing there is going to be good. It's going to be, you're going to be thrown in jail and you're going to be going before Caesar. He said, you know, the famous line that he had in chapter 20, verse 24, he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He said, none of that bothers me. I've made a commitment to the Lord. Have you made a commitment to the Lord this morning? I mean, sorry, not coming telling me you're going to do this and do that. It don't matter to anything. You need to come and tell the Lord. And if you're lost, you need to come get saved. If you're saved, maybe you need to come and get committed. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning, whatever you may have. But I want you to notice, man, that